This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast with your hosts, Kathy Silustri and Rick Kilby. Keep up with Kathy at greatfloridaroadtrip.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Silustri. Find Rick on Twitter at OldFLA and visit his website, rickkilby.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this week's Florida Spectacular Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Kathy, joined by, of course, Rick, who's stuffed up in an attic somewhere in Orlando, as I understand it. How you doing, Rick?
It's a beautiful day to be in an attic in Orlando, I must say, and I'd rather be outside, but you wouldn't.
No, I do want to be outside. We're actually taking the camper out, the new camper, for a short shakedown cruise this week. And as soon as I'm done podcasting, we're going to head down to Fort DeSoto. But I am armed with allergy medicine. Fear not.
I must admit, I have to take allergy pills every day. I don't know that. I mean, I have spells time to time. But now, as I say it, I'm feeling a little congested. Maybe it's just psychosomatic, but I do take half an allergy pill every day. Unless it's worse, then I take more, so, just to keep them at bay.
Yeah, I take allergy medicine because I have literally a full house. We have three cats and two dogs, and apparently I'm allergic to all of them. And I'm unwilling to give up any of them. And it just, this time of year, it just stops working. You know, it's, I joke that the trees are so anxious to reproduce that they will, you know, kill somebody to get them out of their way. The pollen is pollinating. It is definitely, I don't know if you had rain this week, it is definitely first fall summer over here, or the third spring, whatever you call it. I have different names for them.
Yeah, we had rain. I mean, the pollen was more noticeable a few weeks ago here, the yellow stuff you
see. Oh, yeah, it was there. See.
Yeah, and so it doesn't seem as bad here now. But, you know, there's always going to be something. It's Florida. We live in the land of flowers.
The land of flowers. Well, it is springtime. I don't know what it looks like in the rest of the country, and I don't care because, as you mentioned, it's a great day to be in Florida, whether you're in an attic or not. And it's beautiful out. It really is. Makes me want to plant things. It makes me want to – I've started some seeds already for vegetables this year. What I really need to do is get out to the botanical gardens and enjoy it. That's we have beautiful botanical gardens over here. Have you been to our – the Pinellas Florida Botanical Gardens?
No, I have. So where is that?
It's about 30 minutes north of my house in, I guess, Largo. It's right next to our Pinellas County Extension.
And oh, is it by the Pioneer Village in Largo?
By Heritage Village, yes.
Heritage Village, yes.
Well, we have a Pioneer Village in St. Pete, so you confused me.
Okay.
My brain is filled with pollen. I'm not intelligent enough to follow you completely. So it's... No. Yes, it is by Heritage Village. So there's
I have been there.
Have been there. It's beautiful.
It is spectacular. And I love the Heritage Village because there's all sorts of cool old buildings. And I've done a talk there. And yeah, it's so cool that they have those two places kind of abutting each other.
Yeah. It's really, well, it's a whole complex. So they have Heritage Village, the Florida Botanical Gardens, and then they have the Pinellas County Extension. So they have, you know, you can go get ideas at the botanical gardens. And then if you wanted to, you could walk right over to the extension and say, hey, well, how can I make that happen? But it is, in fact, our listeners can't see it, but my virtual background on our Zoom this week is the botanical gardens lit up at Christmas for the holidays. So
it's very hard for me to stay focused on the botanical part when, I mean, I love flowers, but old buildings are my favorite. And, you know, we have an extension place here too in Orange County that has kind of sample gardens, and it's over by the airport. So if you're ever wanting to kill some time and you're stuck at OIA or MCO, whatever you want to call it, you can drive over there and look at the gardens in it. You know, they have them kind of broken down by, you know, like here's the wetlands and, you know, here's a pollinator garden. Here's a different kind of thing. And it's just, it's not really big, but it's, you know, chock full of ideas.
Now, you're not talking about Lou Gardens, are you?
No, Lou Gardens is kind of between Winter Park and Orlando.
That's what I thought, but I thought maybe I never understood Orlando's layout when I lived there. So the whole city is laid out in an angle, and I grew up learning to drive and navigate in Pinellas County, where everything is strictly east, west, and north, south. So for all I know, Winter Park could be up by MCO, even though I lived in Winter Park. I don't know. Orlando's like the Bermuda Triangle for me.
Yeah, I got really confused because I-4 is, an east-west road, but through Orlando it goes north and south. And I remember when I first moved here and I was doing a map in the old paste-up days, pre-computer, I got the map all wrong because I thought I-4 was east and west, but who knew it was north and south through Orlando.
Well, I did.
I didn't at that point because I just moved here. My first job interview when I was coming to Orlando, I got off the turnpike and the sign said Orlando to the right. So I went to the right and my job interview was off I Drive, which was to the left.
Oof.
I didn't figure out I had gone the wrong way till I was in Samford and was at that point 40 minutes late for my interview.
Well, it's Orlando. They should have expected that.
Yeah, but we do have a beautiful botanical garden. It is Lou Botanical Gardens. It's owned by the city. It's a historic piece of property on a, it's on a lake. And honestly, we all had coping strategies for the pandemic. One of mine was going to Lou Gardens because they had no, it, normally they charged a small admission fee. They dropped it during the pandemic so people could go and enjoy it. And I went there several times and it helped keep me sane. I love that place.
That's fantastic. I am during the pandemic, before we made the newspaper our pandemic project, I walked. I was walking, I think some days it was like 8 miles a day, and I walked all throughout our little city. I mean, my city is only 2.5 square miles, right? Gulfport's small compared to most places in Florida. And I was walking the alleys and I saw so many, it's amazing when you slow down what you see. This street I had driven down for 8 years. More, if you count my time reporting for the paper before we bought a house here. Beautiful lychee tree. Am I saying that right?
I don't
Lychee,
know.
Lychee. The little things that
Sure.
it just rife with fruit. And the woman was happy. Take as much fruit as you want. I mean, it was really just, we have such unusual plants in Florida.
Yeah.
And just, I love watching our botanical garden has, or they used to, I don't know if they still do, they had what they called a buttered popcorn tree, which I realize is probably not the scientific name, but when it blooms, if you stand under it, it smells like buttered popcorn.
Do people go up and lick the bark?
Yeah, I never tried it, but it's not a bad idea.
So I have a pronunciation question related to that, and we'll get back to our theme. But I was watching Jeopardy last night, and there was a question about what I have always called an anole, but they pronounce it anole.
I call it an anole.
That's
So
what I
we're
call
all
it too.
talking about the little brown lizards, right?
Well, in this case, they were talking about the green ones, and the clue was, these things adapted and went up further, higher in the trees to get away from the brown ones, and they had a picture of the green one. The other ones
Yes.
that change colors. When I was a kid, I called them chameleons, but they're not. They're anoles, what I always call them. But they call it an anole, and it's like, well, does that mean, is that the Jeopardy pronunciation or is that correct?
Well, the scientific name is Anolis. I cannot speak Latin. Did you have Latin in high school? I did not.
I had a year, it was worthless. I thought it would help me on my SAT. Maybe it did, but I've forgotten everything I learned in Latin except for it's hard.
So the Latin spelling is Anolis. So let's ask Google, how do you pronounce anole or
I'm
anole or
Googling it
anole?
now.
I mean, if Google doesn't know. There's a video on Google with 24,000 views on how to say anole, anole, anole.
It says null. Null.
I
Ken
don't know.
Jennings, you got it wrong, dude. Ken Jennings got it wrong. I'm really disappointed in
Okay,
him.
well, this video says anole.
Well, see, then it says to me when I Google it, it says it sounds like a null. Hold on, let me hear it. Play it. A null.
Okay,
A
so
null.
if we have any, are they amphibians or reptiles?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
According to it
I
is
go with
reptile,
reptile.
according to Etsun.com, which I don't know. Bay soundings, which is a little bit more of a reputable. Bay soundings is the Tampa Bay's environmental publication. And they are not chameleons, you are correct. They talk about all the things that they are not. They're basically, folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, they are the Florida yard lizard. Let's just look at it that way. They're the little brown guys. They eat all your bugs. We actually have, usually by this time of year, we have a really good population in our house plants. And when we started letting them in, we stopped paying for pest control because these little guys are incredible. I had one who lived behind our hamper in the bathroom for a long time. So they're great. They are, I guess, reptiles.
Yeah, we determine
We
reptiles.
determine they're reptiles. And you are correct. I remember Brad Bertelli telling me that the brown anoles chase the green anoles, because the brown anoles are not native to Florida. They're Cuban. But then in South Florida, they now have something called a curly-tailed lizard, which has come over from, I believe, the Bahamas, and they are eating the brown anoles. So the brown anoles are going up in the trees. So I don't know what happens. I
When
don't know what that
I
looks
was a
like.
kid, we just had the green ones, and they would change colors. You'd love it because, they change colors right before your eyes. And people would catch them. The red kind of thing comes off their throat.
The dewlap.
The dewlap, it's so much fun. Or maybe it was when I moved to Orlando. Maybe they don't have the brown ones in Orlando. I did notice that when we had our cold snaps a couple of times that I saw dead ones on the pavement or on the sidewalks,
Oh.
which I hadn't remembered seeing before, but it's been a pretty cool winter. But back to botanical gardens.
Where there will be lots of anoles.
Lots of them.
Are we
I think
deciding we're going to say anole before we move on?
a knoll is,
Anole.
yes, knoll, a knoll.
Anole.
Knoll, Selby. Let's talk about Selby. You've been to
Oh.
Selby, right? But I think that's one of my favorites. It's kind of
They have
next
such a
level.
scandalous past, too. I love it.
Yeah, and it's kind of a hardcore botanical garden, where they like do research and collect. I love those things where they collect plant specimens and they desiccate them and they dry them out and put little labels on them. From a graphic design point of view, it's like taking something that's three-dimensional and beautiful and natural and turning them into graphic design. And I tried that for a while and I almost caught the microwave on fire.
Okay, no. Well, I had there's a woman in Orlando. I don't remember her name, but she makes boiled books. Have you ever seen these where she takes
No.
parched pieces of paper and she presses dried flowers and she somehow boils them into the paper and they're gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous things. And I tried to do it and all I did was ruin the book and make a big stinky mess. I really just need to find her because she is just wonderful. Just need to go ahead and buy one of hers because the books are like they're blank journals, but they're like these small ones are $80. And I was thinking, oh, I can make one. And no, I
I haven't
cannot.
seen that, but I was inspired because they have a whole room of these dried things. So it's kind of like something you'd see in a museum of natural history, but it's at a botanical garden. And I think what Selby's known for are the orchids and the bromeliads, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they're orchids. That's where you get the scandalous pass. Right now, through if you're listening to this before June 29th, 2025, Selby actually has George Harrison, A Gardener's Life on exhibit, which is, yes, that George Harrison, the Beatles. So it's definitely worth getting out there.
I mean, it's almost like Selby's so next level. It's kind of like going to an attraction almost, which makes me think, does Cypress Gardens or Legoland still have gardens? I
I
haven't
don't
been.
know. I don't go to Legoland.
I haven't been, and I'm sad I didn't get there before they stopped doing the ski show because that is a big link to our past.
if there's
you
not...
know, they were known for the gardens. I'm curious to go just to see if there's still gardens, because, you know, historically garden attractions were a big part of Florida history.
Well, but they weren't natural gardens. I mean, that's the part that kills me.
I know, but a lot of these places were. Sunken Gardens isn't natural gardens. Sarasota Jungle Gardens isn't natural gardens. McKee Botanical Gardens and Vero is not natural gardens. They're contrived, man-made landscapes, but they are still beautiful. And I love those historical ones because you can see little vestiges of our roadside past. You know, a lot of them, like McKee, is right on US-1, and that's
They've been around forever too.
Forever, and that's a great place to go. And like Selby, they get traveling exhibits that come through that are outdoors. So they had a big one where they had like giant slugs and giant insects and things like that. And then outdoor, just different kind of outdoor art shows. So they do that. Bach is another great one, actually.
The Bach Tower Gardens?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's not just the tower. It's the landscape that it's created in. And is it the highest point of Peninsula of Florida? I think it is.
I know Chinsegut is the second highest.
Oh. I think it's called Iron Mountain is the name of
the spot.
Is
that the name of it?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell there's a large presence. You know, it's right on the ridge, you know, that goes along the peninsula of Florida, and you can tell the dirt is that got a lot of iron in it because it's that red color.
It's it's definitely along the ridge. So anyway, you just listed a whole bunch of gardens.
I know. I wasn't even thinking about those.
Crazy.
I was thinking about, you know, like the city kind of botanical gardens, like, you know, Lou Gardens here in Orlando, and Knapaha is the one in Gainesville. And then I started to think about the historical gardens, and that's kind of almost a whole different category, because the former roadside attractions that, you know, kind of found a second life as a botanical garden in the 20th and 21st centuries.
So it does look like they do have a botanical gardens inside Legoland. I'm sure when you bring your 4-year-old to Legoland to ride the Lego coaster or whatever the hell they have, they really want to go see the azaleas. So, which yes. Incidentally are not native to Florida, but that was our thing, right? Like, I don't remember when they initially wanted to take Ravine Gardens in Jacksonville State Park, and it's inside a ravine. They planted it and they.
You mean the one in
Palatka, sorry. Yes. Palatka. Yeah. My apologies. They planted this neat, orderly thing or landscape, I guess, down the mountainside, down the inside of the ravine. But, you know, the effect over the years, it's been, that was the 30s, the effect, you got to keep that stuff up in Florida. Like, you know, I know they have an azalea festival every year, but it just looks like a rainforest. I actually think it's beautiful.
Yeah, but, I love that. That was one I wanted to mention too, because not only there's a small spring, and there's like a stream at the bottom.
Yes,
and there's
there
a spring in it. And that's pretty cool too. And there's a big bridge. And it has that great WPA history. And
you can't drive it anymore, which I remember we drove it when we were in the camper van when I was doing research for Backroads. It would have been 2011. And driving down the inside of the ravine, I remember thinking, this just doesn't seem like a good idea. I'm surprised they allow this. And sure enough, they don't anymore. So, but yeah, I've never been to Legoland. We should do a meetup at Legoland.
Sure.
No.
Sure. There's a lot to do in Polk County. I could show you some cool Polk County sites.
I would be very interested in seeing more of Polk County. I'm fascinated by Polk. It's like a hammocked county between Hillsboro and Orange. And I'm sorry, I'm looking to see how much it costs to get into Legoland now.
I'll talk about Knapaha while you're looking up the prices, because Knapaha is Gainesville's botanical garden that I love. And there's actually, when you're driving down Archer Road, it's, you know, like I guess it's a little hamlet or community called Knapaha, which is, I'm sure, goes back to probably the Creek language, I'm guessing.
Miccosukee? I don't know how to pronounce
maybe.
It. Knapaha Botanical Gardens, yes.
And it's lovely too. It was, when I was going to ask my wife to marry me, that was my my backup in case. And I got nervous and went for something else, but the
What'd
Knapp
you do?
was going to be.
You can't just get away.
There's
how'd you propose?
A place on Lake Alice on campus called the Bauman Center. It's this beautifully designed
it's
church.
A, yeah, it's chapel. Right by the bats.
So there's a little bridge over a little creek there, and I dropped to one knee on the bridge. I was so nervous, you know, because we were in town for Thanksgiving, and we had to stay in a hotel because my parents didn't have the room. And I was so worried about the ring that I hid it in the wheel well on my car because I was so nervous because it was like the most expensive thing outside of a car or a house, the most expensive thing
I
ever
bought. The wheel well of your car.
Not the wheel well, where the spare tire is.
I was like, Jesus, Rick, that's not what you do.
Sorry. No, like I was so nervous to have this ring that I plunked down all this money for. And then, you know, I got nervous as hell.
Oh, that's sweet. I can't picture you nervous, but that's sweet. How long ago was this?
2004, 2005. We got married in 2006. I think it was probably 2005 because my wife's like, we're getting married soon. And,
wow. Is she going to hear you say that? Cause that's not how
no.
she sounds at all.
I was like, let's just take our time. She's like, before I knew it, she had a binder with all the wedding stuff in it. It was like a wedding planner. Let's get this job done. And it happened. So it was around Thanksgiving. I asked her, we got married in April.
That's not bad. No, I had a spreadsheet. I live my life by spreadsheets. It's yes. very romantic.
Same thing as a binder. It's like a more contemporary binder.
If I could figure out how to print a spreadsheet, I would put them in binders. I get it from my mom. My mom uses green bar ledger paper to do her books and finances and all that. Uh-huh. But no, I mean, this sounds oddly intimate for the podcast, but it's very sweet to picture you nervous because to me, you're still this Florida author before I ever had a book who was like super cool doing all these great things. Wow. And picturing Rick Kilby nervous is, I don't know, that's picturing Bernie Sanders calm. It just doesn't fit in my head.
I get nervous before talks still, depending on the talk. Some talks I'm not nervous. It's like the weird little things. If I have to do an announcement at, you know, some little meeting, I get super nervous, but sometimes I, you know, just for a talk full of people, I'm not nervous at all. And so there's no rhyme or reason.
Really?
I've just learned to roll with it. I'm not a natural speaker. It's hard, but so back to flowers.
Flowers. Sorry.
So if you were to get married at a botanical garden, where would you get married?
Well, I got married on the beach. So if there was a botanical garden on the beach,
Washington Oaks, kind of. There's a garden.
They don't let dogs. They don't let dogs. Our dogs were at the wedding ceremony. But I will tell you, if I couldn't do that, if I had to do it all over again at a botanical garden, I would, honestly, I would really rather, I love our botanical gardens. Florida Botanical Gardens has a beautiful wedding pavilion.
Yeah.
I would rather get married in a forest. I mean, I would really rather go into Ocala National Forest and get married by a spring.
Oh, that would be cool.
I know. But that's not the point of the podcast. So I would almost, you know, Sarasota Botanical Gardens, I like the idea of getting married with flamingos everywhere, but their flamingos are used to being fed. They let you buy feed to feed the flamingos. So they're also kind of demanding.
Yeah.
So I don't think I would do Sarasota Botanical Gardens.
You mean Jungle Gardens?
Sarasota Jungle Gardens. Excuse me. Oh, big difference.
Yeah. Well, I love that place.
I love it too, but those flamingos are hardcore. I mean, it's nice to picture them.
And they're tall. You know, when they're, you don't realize.
They're sandhill cranes, scary tall.
Yeah. They look eye to eye with you, some of them. It's crazy.
They look eye to eye with you and go, bitch, where's my food? I know they sell it here. Which
How
is
about
the part
sunken
the
gardens?
Sunken gardens, I like the idea of getting married inside a sinkhole, which is really all it was.
With cool big flowers, the implants.
And they've redone the sign. They redid the sign at Sunken Gardens back to the, I don't know if it was the original sign, but they redid the entryway sign so it looks like it's old. You know, I don't know how to explain that to you.
Yeah, they restored it. It looks great.
Yeah,
it's one of the better neon signs in the state.
It's fascinating. I remember it's gone now. My whole growing up life, anytime we went on 275 or down US 19, because I grew up in North Pinellas, there was this great road sign for Sunken Gardens. And it was, I'll see if I can find it somewhere, but it was just this great three-dimensional road sign that had all the, like, the atomic design elements to it. I know that's probably not the right description.
Googie. Googie is another way of saying it.
Googie?
Googie. Yeah, Googie is a mid-century architectural style, commercial style. And so the Googie was the name of a coffee shop, I think, in L.A., you know, with lots of glass, and then kind of influenced that whole mid-century modern design ethos.
Okay, we'll have to put a link to that somewhere in the show notes. But the Sunken Garden sign, I always romanticized it. And then when I went to it the first time, I'm like, oh, it's just a damn sinkhole, but it's really cool.
It is very cool.
You know, I had a membership for them and I never used it. And I was so disappointed in myself because it's a little too far from my house, which I know sounds crazy, but it's like 15 minutes away and it's a lot, but it is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. They had I don't know if you're aware of this, a few years ago, they had elderly flamingos that started mating. If you follow this podcast regularly, you know that Kathy, that's me, is obsessed with how animals have sex. So, I mean, I can do a whole podcast on scorpion sex if you need me to. But they had these two flamingos, and this flamingo, I guess they brought him in or something, and they started mating. And it was just, it made the news. That's how I knew about
it. I didn't know about that. I had no idea.
It was like this thing where...
Is it noisy? Could be noisy. Because, you know, we have limpkins on our lake, and they are, this time of year, they are extremely noisy. Just screaming and crying, and moorhens are noisy. And I mean, that's part of the thing about Florida. If you live near water birds, they tend to be noisy critters.
Well, they're, I don't know if this is a thing in Central Florida, but we have the Nandae conures and the monk parakeets over on the coast. And I read in a book once that if there's more than one parrot in a tree, one parrot is giving another parrot a piece of its mind. And I find that to be true of all birds. They have big feelings. They are always all up in their feelings. And I like it, but I also like, I'm going to get killed for saying this. I also like Australian pines.
Oh yeah, I know you bring that up every few episodes of honestly. So here's the thing. It ties in with our botanical garden thing. You know, there are beautiful plants and beautiful fauna, or flora, I should say, flora and fauna that are not native to Florida that kind of make it the experience. You know, when you go to these botanical gardens, it's not all native plants. Usually they have one little corner with native plants. It's usually exotic stuff from Australia and South America that's the showy stuff that everybody wants to see.
Everybody, you talk about plants and these exotic plants, the best example, and you're going to laugh at me, the best example I can give is if you go to Walt Disney World. There are two places where they have planted things and people believe they are exotic plants at Disney World, and they're not. One of them is on the Jungle Cruise. You can use your Seek app on the Jungle Cruise and identify things you can put in your yard and not upset the Native Plant Society. So you might think you're on the Amazon, but it's just stuff that grows really well. And the other one is around, not where they keep the animals, but around the entrance to Animal Kingdom and the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I see things that we have in our landscape, but people are coming. It's almost like a false narrative. They come down and they're like, ooh, look at these exotic plants. And you're like, folks, those are just Florida natives. But if you tell them they're Florida natives in a botanical garden, they won't go. Like they can only do like this little tiny patch in each botanical garden of, oh, here are our native gardens. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, blah. But if you take them on the Jungle Cruise, they're like, look at that beautiful broadleaf. And you're like, really? Like, it was the same thing that you could have seen for free at the botanical garden that you walked right past. But anyway,
the irony of Disney is that you go to Disney Springs and they've got this fake spring that's really like a giant swimming pool made out of concrete. And they make cypress knees out of concrete. And it's like, just plant a few cypress and they will grow knees. You know, it'll just happen organically. And now, it makes me crazy.
If you go through the parking lots, especially the original two parks, Epcot and Disney World or Magic Kingdom. They have, I believe it's mitigation about halfway through the walk from, well, it, Magic Kingdom, it's actually not at the park. It's before you get on the boat to go to the park. That parking lot and the Epcot parking lot, halfway through, it looks like they've done some mitigation and they have a little creek. You know, they have to have something for the water to drain to. And right. It's all forested with beautiful cypress trees. And it's like, come on, guys, this is beautiful. Why don't you have more of this? And I have a whole thought on Disney Springs that probably we could do a point counterpoint, but I'm fascinated by the invented environment. And it just goes back to like the trees that you see around Animal Kingdom Lodge or on the Jungle Cruise being the same things that we can't force people to go see for free in these beautiful botanical gardens. I am a big fan of landscaping with what you have instead of importing stuff. But I do like, yeah. I do like the botanical gardens because they do give me ideas. And, you know, not all of it is a good idea for someone's landscape, but you see these things and you're like, wow, I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're great.
And in bamboo, you know, I love, you know, Lou Gardens has a great place that's just different kinds of bamboo. And I just love walking through there and you see the different varieties, you know, some of it's massive and some of it's more ornamental. And, you know, I have a little patch of bamboo in it. You know, it's not the kind that's going to go crazy. It's a lot bigger than I ever thought it would be, but it's not growing into my house. But, you know, for creating privacy, it's tough to beat bamboo, and that's exactly why I planted it. And, you know, a lot of that inspiration comes from going to botanical gardens because inevitably in Florida, you're going to run into some, you know, bamboo gardens at some place.
Well, we have two types of bamboo in our landscape, and one of them was driving Barry sufficiently crazy enough that during the pandemic, since we did the landscape, we had put in a pool, and he rented a little bobcat and took out a whole bunch of the bamboo because it was just shedding leaves into the pool. But then we moved it to the front yard and it does block our view. It's not by any means taking over the front yard. We got the clumping kind, not the spreading kind, I guess.
Right. Right.
And it's great. It's beautiful. I love the sound of the wind through the bamboo. I could see doing bamboo all along our sidewalk so I didn't have to see anybody, but that seems extreme.
I don't know why people don't plant it more often instead of podocarpus. We got podocarpus everywhere.
Because people think it's going to spread.
There are native Florida bamboos, right?
Ask our producer. Chad is our producer. He's the guy who knows.
I know there are.
Okay, good.
I think.
Also, I want to do a podcast about what you've done in your backyard. Now that I've seen it, you described this lake behind your house, and it was not what I was thinking. It is a beautiful, 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 beautiful landscape you have back there. So,
well, I'm working on it and I haven't had much time to do much with it this year, but I hope to. Yeah. So I think there are. I Googled it and there's all sorts of weird stuff, but we could do a whole show of bamboo. And, you know, I keep thinking of these other places in South Florida. We haven't even touched South Florida. That are historically roadside attractions. I did some work early on for a place in Bonita Springs, Everglades Wonder Gardens, that, you know, it was family owned for years and years and years. And then the family decided to get out of it. And there's a photographer named John Brady who stepped in and bought it from them and ran it for them until they could get a nonprofit started to take care of it. And now it's a nonprofit. I think they dropped the Wonder, and I think it's just called. I can't know. Now it's just called Wonder Gardens, I think. But it's, you know, it was an old roadside attraction with alligators. They had huge alligators that were way too big for the space they had allotted. So they traded them with Gatorland for smaller alligators. But, you know, it's flamingos and alligators. They had an otter for a time and, you know, giant bamboo and giant plants. And of course, they get, you know, they get the wonderful non-native trees that I love, like banyans that we don't get here in Central Florida, but you have over by you.
Okay, so I have a question about that. And I don't know if you can answer this. I was always Always. I, for a long time, was under the impression that a banyan tree was a type of tree, but I had somebody tell me that any tree that drops roots like that is a banyan tree, which would technically make some mangroves banyans. And my dog
I
is named
thought.
Banyan, so she's very concerned as to why I'm saying her name over and over again.
Well, banyan is a type of ficus. I know that. And so my friend has a ficus that is not a banyan. So it grows like crazy and has giant leaves and stuff like that, but it is not a banyan. We can't do banyans. And the one she has, the ficus that's in her backyard, which is kind of protected, you know, there are some times where it freezes and it looks like it's dead, but then it comes back. So I don't know. Again, we should get a tree. Oh, I got a tree guy. He works at Lou Gardens. We need to have him on.
All right. People loved it when we did our native plant.
Except for me. And when the wildflower one, please don't ever remind me of that show.
It's okay. It's all good. I didn't, I, it's fine. Anyway, I don't even think we covered everything we wanted to, but it's 40 minutes have just
It's too many.
flown by. Folks, we're going to definitely put a link to, I think, everything we talked about. I also have a great article about how to grow bamboo in Florida if you decide you want to do it. We do have, Rick, you are correct. There is one native that is called switch cane.
Cool.
It's the one that grows along rivers. So you can plant a native. Remember, a native plant is only a native plant if it's native to your region. What's native for me along the coast of Pinellas County is not going to be native for somebody living in the Northwest mountains of Florida. I don't know what
Or
else you call
Central Florida, where I
it. Or
am for
Central.
that
Yeah, I mean,
matter. You know, I
it's
can't do
those
abandon.
beautiful trumpet trees. Those yellow trumpet trees y'all have. I
Stavabilia, yeah.
haven't seen those anywhere around here. I want one now, but I'm like, is it not a good idea? Will it not do well? It's just rife with so many
They're everywhere blooming right now, and it's just spectacular. And it rains, so now they're all over the ground. And you know, then you just have this carpet. It's like follow the yellow brick road of flowers. We have the yellow ones and the pink ones, and they're both in bloom right now. It is one of the best things about living in Central Florida is the golden trumpet and the you know they're called the Tabebuia was
Yeah,
the
I'll have a link in those. One of the
oh.
sweetest things my husband ever did for me. You don't have sea hibiscus, do you? So sea hibiscus look like sea grape, and they grow big, and they have these beautiful flowers. And the ones that I've seen are like a crimson flower. And when we lived on St. Pete Beach, we would walk to the gym. Well, one day Barry went to the gym without me, and he came home and got a bag. He goes, "I'll be right back." And he came back. He had been walking home and he had saw all these sea hibiscus flowers on the ground. And he brought them back to me. He goes, "I saw these and I just thought you'll know what to do with them." And he brought me all these beautiful, you know, I'm not, please don't buy me a bouquet of flowers. Don't ever do that. But if you bring me something like that, I mean, I was just done. And I did. I put them in a nice bowl, floated them in water. They're beautiful blossoms. And that's what your yellow trumpet tree reminds me of. It's just, I'm picturing all these brilliant yellow flowers all over the ground.
It is a sight to behold. It's amazing. And they just, you know, you're outside one day and then all of a sudden, boom, there they are. And you can't miss them. And it's, you know, when I grew up in Gainesville, and that's kind of the way I remembered azaleas. They don't have as many azaleas down here. That, you know, that was the big thing in Gainesville, you know, when the azaleas came out. And they would be different shades of pink. But this is, you know, a time of year where we get these beautiful, you know, crystal clear blue skies, and just the yellow against the blue is just so contrasty and
Contrasty.
vibrant.
Is contrasty a word?
It is for a graphic designer.
Okay. All right, folks, thanks for listening. I am going to leave you, Rick, and I am going to go down to Fort DeSoto. We're going to camp for a few days, and I will take my dog and wander some trails there. What are you going to do? Are you going to go out to Lou? Are you going to go find some bamboo somewhere to play in?
I am going to do some stuff in Winter Park. I got a little exploring to do there. There's a road trip to Lakeland in my future, and then I'm starting to get excited about Sarasota for the Floridiana Festival.
That's right.
I'm working on something. We'll see if it works out, but I'm
All
excited.
right. Well, if you want to do a meetup while we're down there at Sarasota Jungle Gardens, just let me know. You
Yeah,
know,
we got to do something. We got to do something.
I mean, it's right there.
Yeah.
And we're going to be there. And That's all we got, folks. We want to hear from you. What are your favorite botanical gardens? If you don't live in Florida, that's okay. We know that we are the best state, but we acknowledge that there are 49 others that might have something nice to see. So reach out to us. Email us at Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, at floridaspectacular.com. We'd love it if you'd send a snapshot or two of yourself in the gardens, stuff like that. Always a lot of fun to see what you listen to. If you listen to us, what you also like to do. I mean, you clearly have good taste if you're listening to the podcast, right, Rick?
Yes.
Speaking of people with good taste, we do want to give a shout out to our paid level podcast subscribers. We love everybody who listens to us. We do love the people who subscribe and help pay our bills a little tiny bit more. But it's nominal, but we do appreciate them. Folks, if you are a paid subscriber, you know you get postcards from us when we go out on road trips, but we also randomly, the higher tiers, we randomly send you Florida swag. Rick gave me some great stuff to mail out the last time I saw him. Florida-centric, always a surprise in your mailbox. Never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates, but not as fattening. So we want to call out and thank our podcast subscribers. Our first podcast subscriber, Michael Gargalak, Ryan Worthington of the Florida Madcaps and As Bad As It Gets podcasts, John Bone, Angela Connolly, Natalie Zachrick, Davida Breyer, who wrote Sinkhole, and she works for a publisher and periodically sends me books. And she sent me one on Florida's movies made in Florida. I got it yesterday. And did you know Deep Throat was made in Florida, Rick?
I didn't. I was this many years old when I learned that.
I mean, I thought Creature from the Black Lagoon was perhaps our best known Florida flick. I don't know. I think Deep Throat might be better known. I don't know. It's six of one, half a dozen of another. Thanks to Leslie Hallweg, Lisa, Carol Miller, Elise Smith, Carrie McNulty, and Bet's Boys Adventures. We really do appreciate you helping support our Florida habit. And look for your mailbox. Look in your mailbox soon for some more neat gifts, folks. And with that, please, everyone, go outside. Go visit your local botanical garden. Sketch something. Plant something. Play in the bamboo. That's what Rick's going to be doing. I'm positive. He's going to play hide and seek in the bamboo.
It's not that big, but maybe I can play hide and seek with an animal.
That's very stressful for the animal, Rick.
But tell us about your favorite botanical gardens, because we miss a lot of them.
Yeah, I know we did. And I know someone's out there listening going, damn it, they didn't mention this one. So tell us about it. And if anybody out there is the definitive source on how to pronounce a knoll, we really would like to know that we're correct.
Yep. We need lizard people. More lizard people.
More lizard people. All right. Well, we will see you next time on Florida Spectacular. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.